Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, what are you eating there?
Oh, this? It's a McDLT.
Really? Why is it in that box with two compartments?
Well, isn't that obvious? It keeps the hot side hot and the cool side cool. Okay, let's tackle the fan mail some more.
Great.
Today, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
We have this giant pile, as we've discussed before. It's becoming a hazard. We really need to dispose of it properly.
We only have one of those small mailboxes that hangs on the side of the Suburbs Pod headquarters, and it was just flowing all over the steps. That's right.
So the first step in such disposal is to read the letters.
That's right.
On the show, right? Give people their voice here. So let's see. We're going to do mainly one topic today, but then we'll have a quick little something else at the end. So stick around for that. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we're going to start here. We're going to read some correspondence we got about the passing of Eddie Van Halen remembrances of Eddie Van Halen. That was last October.
Correct.
And we included a lot of listeners on that particular episode, but then, of course, you know, when the episode posted, more people, you know, wanted to share their memories and thoughts. And there's some good stuff here, so we'll get to that.
Okay.
But first thing, I have to make a correction. In that episode, I'm screwing it up again. In that episode, I mentioned that there was another famous guitarist who had done sort of the tapping technique.
Oh, okay.
Before Eddie Van Halen, maybe not necessarily an influence, but somebody who just sort of predated that or made it somewhat famous. And that guitarist was Steve Hackett. Okay.
Right.
And I had that correct, but I said that he was in Yes and he was not. He was in Genesis.
Oh.
So,
okay.
I was confusing. Yes. Yeah,
that's an easy mistake to make. Yeah.
I was confusing him with Steve Howe.
Steve Howe was in
Yes. So that was it. So I just got to make that quick little correction there.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Understandable. I mean, Steve's with H's and
sort
both
of
in prog rock bands.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, and you think of Yes, too, with that song, boom, boodaloo, boom, boom, boodaloo, boodaloo, boom. And that's, you know, kind of sounds tappy at
that's
the beginning,
right.
too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, there you go. Van Halen, not a prog rock band at all. So again, let's just move on from that. Okay.
Okay.
Put that ugliness behind us. Okay. So real quickly here, let's see. David Leedy sent a tweet and he said, 80% of the music that 13-year-old me played was either Van Halen or Rush.
Wow.
And it was also 90% of my posters. the impact extends to this day. Unchained comes on, volume goes up. Beautiful Girls comes on, smile across my face. Panama, air guitar. List goes on, and I say rock on.
Nice. There you go. No matter where David is, it strikes him he does those things.
That's right.
That. Yeah.
It's that kind of band, right?
But does he still have the posters? That's the question.
Let us know about that. Justin Steiner from Valparaiso, Indiana. Says 1984 was my first exposure to Van Halen because I listened to country music until 1983 or so. I did not know this about Justin.
No,
this is new information.
Me neither. I'm quite surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, the single from 1984 had lots of airplay, but it wasn't until I was at swim camp at Ball State that summer that I heard more. The tape was on a loop at the pool, so every time I pulled my head out of the water doing Butterfly, I heard bits and pieces made an impression. Eventually, I got it for Christmas that year, one of the first 5 cassettes I ever owned, along with my Sony Walkman.
Hmm. I can definitely see that album being on heavy rotation at the pool in summer of 84.
Yes. So
pretty amazing. I'll tell you, that's really interesting about Justin. We're going to have to find out the reason he only listened to country music until 1983. I'll tell you something. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast, Jim. There's something I never did until about the same time. It was about 83 or 84. I was like a couple years through high school or 1 year that almost everybody, my peers, had done many, many, many times. And I never did it. And you know what that was?
I'm almost afraid to ask.
I never ate at McDonald's until I was in high school. It was weird. Huh. Yeah, I don't know why. I just never did.
You don't know why?
Mm-mm. There was no apparent reason. It just never crossed my mind. I used to go to Roy Rogers all the time, but
oh,
never
interesting.
Went to McDonald's. Yeah, really weird, man.
We still have Roy Rogers out here by me, out in Leesburg.
Yeah, right. There's not too many left, but you do have one pretty close. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's probably Roy a reason Rogers. Why there's not. There's probably a reason why there's not too many left. I'll just say that.
Well,
but unless they want to be a sponsor of the show, in which case,
we can talk. I got to try to remember, maybe somebody can find it, where that John Spencer Blues Explosion song where he goes, Roy Rogers, roast beef sandwich. I got a mark on me. What's that you again? A Roy Rogers roast beef sandwich. Classic. I think at one time on the Jersey Turnpike, you can only get off at those little plazas, and they had Roy's in there or something. I don't know. I've lost the thread. Back to Van Halen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We had our fair share of McDonald's as kids, and for me, growing up in Toledo, it was definitely a treat. We loved it, of course. When
of course. Yeah. And it was like a cool thing, and your friends would go there and meet up, and I don't know why. Maybe I had no friends. I can't remember.
And then, when I was in high school, I worked at McDonald's.
Oh, did you? So did my wife. Yeah, my wife did as well.
Yeah, we didn't cross paths, but anyway.
Different states.
Yeah. The company newsletter, whatever, didn't feature her that I saw.
That's right. Most likely to become McDonald's managers. Yeah,
I worked there for 2 years in high school.
Wow.
And saved up some money back then. You could save up money, I think, and but I'll tell you this real quickly. We're going off on a subject here. It was actually my second job ever. Okay,
oh, really?
So
okay,
my first job. Was literally across the street from the McDonald's at the Ponderosa.
Oh,
do you remember those places?
I do remember the Ponderosa, yeah.
And I tell people this story sometimes. I didn't work at the Ponderosa very long because two reasons. One is in Ohio back then, if you were under 18, if you were 16 or 17 years old, they could hire you at something called sub-minimum wage.
Oh,
this
really?
Was a legal thing. It was 50 cents below the minimum wage.
Wow,
okay?
That's a rip.
And I guess it was a way for them to, to get like, teenagers jobs or whatever. They didn't have to pay you as much or, for those kinds of jobs. Anyway, so the Ponderosa paid the sub-minimum wage and I worked there and I was a dishwasher and it was such a horrible experience. Like scalding my arms and hands the incredibly hot water and utensils and things getting stuck in this dishwashing apparatus that it would go through and you'd have to reach in and it was just horrible job. And so I just went across the street and I said, you guys hiring over here at the McDonald's? Because you don't have to wash dishes there, right?
Right.
And they paid the full minimum wage even though I was only 16 years old. So
no brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did that. I made that move. Big loss for Ponderosa.
Right.
And in fact, do you see any Ponderosas around anymore? No, you don't.
No.
See? There you go.
That's right. Well, you were stepping up on the career ladder even then. Well done.
So where this had to do with swimming? Swim camp?
Somehow.
okay.
Country music and swim camp.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, but I will tell you, working at the you'll appreciate this. Working at the McDonald's, sometimes I would close. I would be on the closing shift, and they would let you play music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because all the customers are gone.
Oh, right.
Doors
are
locked. You're just cleaning up. They let you play music.
Yep.
Somebody would have a boombox and jam on it. And oftentimes, what did they play there, Patrick? What did the other teenagers in high school want to put on the...
Got to be 1984, man.
No.
No, it was Kiss.
Kiss.
Yes.
But it was 80s Kiss. It was like that Heaven's on Fire, whatever. Do you remember that? I somehow associate that with closing at McDonald's because it was like that whatever album that was on got
Let
played
me clean
a lot.
Up fast and get out of here.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on here.
All right.
Jay Ignacio. We love Jay Ignacio. He said here on Facebook, Like many, I had a Van Halen stage before I became a postmodern indie punk.
Right.
I loved Diver Down in 1984 and was even into some of the Van Hagar. In grade school, my friends and I lip-synced a video for Jump, in which my brother would actually play the keyboard parts. That's cool.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, being an Asian American, I was recently surprised to find out that the Van Halen boys are half Asian. Their mother, Eugenia, was Indonesian. I just assumed they were Dutch. Their family's immigrant story is fascinating and makes me love them even more. So there you go. Yeah, there were a lot of reports about that, or a lot of attention given to his Asian.
Yeah, very interesting
heritage, right? And it wasn't really ever made a big deal.
No,
but to people who knew that was important to them. So that's great.
That's right. Again, until he passed, I didn't know that either. So it's very interesting. And I don't know if Jay still has the video, but I think enough time has gone by to tell if that video, only time will tell if it stood the test of time. So we'll see.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. And then Kevin Clement says, I just couldn't talk about it before, but now I will share this. On June 13th, 1984, at the Assembly Center on LSU's campus, my 17-year-old sister let me and a friend of mine tag along with her and a friend to see Van Halen. My 11-year-old mind was blown away, and I was forever changed by that concert.
Wow.
Little did we know that Van Halen would change not long after that. Van Hagar is okay, but the original lineup would never be topped. And rest in power.
Yeah.
And then one last thing here. Mark Neese wrote, one more great thing about Van Halen was the logo. Simple and elegant. Most importantly, easy enough for any 1980s teenager to recreate on a school folder, paper, textbook cover, or Trapper Keeper.
Trapper Keeper, yeah. Right. I mean, how many times, did people draw it, or back of a jean jacket, or definitely the notebook? Yeah, without a doubt. Very good point.
All right, Patrick, and I looked it up just for the record. That Kiss album is Animalize.
Okay, got it. Yeah,
it came out in 1984.
There you go.
Look at right here. So yes, yeah. I associate that with closing at McDonald's.
Okay,
just so you know, Animalize.
Closing. Okay. Yeah, it's a good association with that.
Okay, now lastly, before we get out of here, this comment is just sort of random. I at some point in one of our new music episodes from last year. I made some reference, I can't remember what it was, to a beagle that my wife and I once owned, was once part of our family. It was our first dog after we were married. And I think we talked about how it used to dig up the yard or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't remember exactly what I said, but Bill Mulligan posted here. He said, once again, the podcast mirrors my life as I am listening. Just as Jim was speaking of Rhoda the Beagle, and Patrick exclaimed, there's got to be a fox around here somewhere. A fox ran across the street in front of me and my beagle on our morning walk.
Holy Christmas. That's freaky, man. Holy Moses.
Yes.
Yeah, we do have the foxes here in Falls Church.
Is that right?
Yeah,
he lives by you. Bill does.
Yeah, he does. I mean, this area, is... been here long enough now, so there's these little pockets of, stuff where the trees are really tall and there's woods and there's no danger of it being built up. So there are these little places where you'll see them. And I don't know if we discussed this, but if you ever heard a fox bark, like in the middle of the night, it's very frightening. I mean, it sounds otherworldly. They have this.
I don't think I have.
What does it sound scary. Like? It's almost like a child who's in distress. It's this very high-pitched yowl. It's very unsettling. It really is, yeah.
That's so interesting. They're all they're apparently all over Northern Virginia, foxes, but you don't see them very much because they're mostly nocturnal, I think, right?
Yeah,
so
that's
it
right.
makes sense that Bill sees it on the morning walk. That would be the time. You don't like they're not out having a smoke at 3 p.m. that kind of thing, right?
Not exactly. No. Waiting for the school bus. No.
That's right.
Not
no.
You don't see a lot of foxes smoking, but
well, there was a campaign to try to get them to,
that's right,
to wean them from that behavior.
The tar and nicotine, were killing them. killing them off. That's how they got in danger.
That's right. So,
oh boy.
All right, let's get out of here. This seems like a good time to do that. Yeah. Thank you to everyone for that correspondence. Tomorrow we're going to take up another couple of topics. All right.
Sounds great. Yep. Thanks. Thanks to everybody who responds, as we always say. Thank you.
And of course, Bill, let us know if once again, right, as we're talking about foxes, you see another one. Then, yeah.
then we'll know we're on to
you
something.
You really got to get worried. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenny.
I'm Pat Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And of course, Fox on the Run by Sweet is the perfect, yes, play out song right there.
Oh, that would be great.